Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isho Acheres Maskinin Lo. On the side, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we indicate that this topic will continue till Omid Beis. And we've written Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Af Isho Acheres Maskinin Lo. In addition to setting aside a replacement Kohen Gadol in the event that some disqualifying factor sets in necessitating having a replacement man, Kohen Gadol, in the wings. Rabbi Yehuda says, because the Torah insists that the Kohen Gadol be a married individual, v'chiper bado v'ad beso, the pasuk says he shall atone for himself and his beso and his household, and the term beso refers to one's wife. So in the event that something happens to her, in the event that his wife dies, we want to make sure that he does not continue the Yom Kippur Avoda without having a wife. So a replacement woman is designated. The Gemara will get into the details concerning this matter as we go on. So now let's turn to the Gemara. V'rabbonan nami ho chayish l'shema. The Rabbonan, they appeared in our Mishnah insisting that a Kohen Gadol replacement is designated. So they worry about the Shema, the possibility of something happening. They do concern themselves with the maybe. So why do they not take into consideration the replacement woman as well? Amri loch Rabbonan, the Rabbonan will answer, Tuma Shchicha, the possibility of Tuma affecting the Kohen Gadol is a common concern. Misa lo Shchicha, however, the fear that someone might die, in this case that his wife might die, is something uncommon, therefore no need to take that into consideration. Omru lo, the Rabbonan responded to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Ein Kain, if you're going to worry about the woman dying, Ein Ludover Sof. There's no end to how far you can start worrying. Namely, the second woman might also die, so have a third replacement woman, etc. Shapir ko Amri le Rabbi Yehuda. Is it not so that they have a good claim on Rabbi Yehuda? So why does Rabbi Yehuda say what he does, have one woman? Why not, if you're worried, have another 2, 3, 4 women waiting as a replacement wife? So the Gemara answers Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Loch, Rabbi Yehuda will answer, Lamisa dechada chayshinon, fear of one person dying, that we concern ourselves with, Lamisa detarti lo chayshinon. However, concerning ourselves with the possibility that 2 people will die, 2 women will die, that I'm not worried about. So it's that I concern myself with his wife, his one woman, his wife dying, that yes, hence it's sufficient to have one replacement woman and not to worry about maybe the replacement woman will also die. V'rabbonon, they respond, Iko lemechash, if you are going to start worrying about death, afilu lemisa detrein chayshino, then you should be consistent and worry about the possibility of 2 dying as well. The Gemara asks, V'rabbonan neimru inhu lenafshayu. The Rabbonan seem to be hypocritical. In other words, they should preach unto themselves what they are preaching to Rabbi Yehuda, namely, if the Rabbonan are concerning themselves with Tumah, So should they not concern themselves with the replacement Kohen Gadol also becoming Tomei and say, Ein L'Davar Sof, there's no end? Amri Loch Rabbona. The Rabbonan respond. Kohen Gadol Zoriz Hu. The Kohen Gadol is diligent. He knows to avoid Tumah. As opposed to death, that's not something that we are in charge of. The Gemara asks, E Zoriz Hu, if he is diligent, Lama Maskinim Kohen Acher, then why even one replacement? The Gemara answers, there's another piece of logic in having a replacement man. Kevon de Avdinon Le Tzora. Tzora is a co-Kohen Gadol or a competitor Kohen Gadol. Having this second fellow, this challenger, so to speak, Kol Shekein de Mizdaris Tvei, that will only hasten his diligence in making sure that he will not become Tomei, because he sees this guy waiting, so to speak, to take over, and he doesn't want that to happen, so this will motivate him to be even more diligent. The Gemara asks, within Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, Umi Sagi Le Betakanto, is this solution really enough, namely designating a woman? Beso Omar Rachmona. The Torah uses the term Beso. V'hachlav Beso, he had designated woman, is not Beso, it's not considered his household. He's not married to her, she was merely designated. So the Gemara, in response, the Mekadesh law, he offers her Kesef Kiddushin, he marries her through Kiddushin. The Kiddushin is a first stage in establishing marriage. There is what we call Erusin or Kiddushin, where a man offers a woman money, and then there's a waiting period, and this is something that you do not find practiced today, but in the time of the Gemara this was the case, and there's an interim period after the Kiddushin until the Nisuin, where he formally takes her in, where they live together as man and wife. So the Gemara was saying that a mere designation of the woman is certainly not enough. The Torah expects the woman to be married to him by using the term Beso. So the Gemara had just suggested, well, he's Mekadesh her. However, the Gemara says, V'hokama delo konis law, as long as he hasn't taken her in and lived together in intimacy with her, lav Beso he, just having offered her some money to establish a matrimonial state, that's not Beso yet. So the Gemara says, alright, the Konis law. So he takes her in, that second woman, the replacement of the designated wife, he takes her in, he goes all the way with her. Well, then in Kain Havile Shnei Botim. Well, if that's the case, then he's married to two women, for Achmona Omar, and the Torah with regard to the Kohen Gadol says, V'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad beisoi, in the singular, word beiso is in the singular, v'lo ba'ad shnei botim, and not, he doesn't atone on behalf of two botim, two wives. The word bias in this context is a reference to the wife. So, how do we solve the issue of, on the one hand, needing a replacement woman that is a wife, but yet he can't have his original wife and the replacement wife as well? So the Gemara says, the Hodar Megoresh Law. He then divorces her. Well, I Megoresh Law Hodra Kushion Leduchta. If he divorces her, so then the original question comes back. Maybe his wife will die and he'll be left without a wife. Lo tzricha, the megarish lo al tnai, he divorces her conditionally. Now, before we go further in the Gemara, you notice that we have a topic heading and a structural note. First, the topic heading, it's a subtopic we call tatnose, metzias pitaron, shihei l'kohen gadol rak isha achas, ubo bazman, isha shnia mezumenes, kememalis mokim. How do you have the kohen gadol having just one wife, and at the second time, the designated replacement woman is also fulfilling the requirements? So the structural note that we have, you can see a triangle is featured under the Mivneh. We've noted Sidra Shel Hatzaos Shel Pitaron Al Yedei Get B'Tnai, a series of suggestions of how to solve our problem through a conditional divorce. There's a note that Rashi makes on this sukya. You'll notice the Rashi that we're referring to is on the fourth narrow line. And he says, let's read this together, in the middle of the fourth narrow line of Rashi. Rashi says, V'chol sukya zois, ein terutzin shebo yichon lamoid. Throughout this sukya, there are many, many triangles. You'll see how they continue down Omid Beis as well. They're all suggestions that will not last. They can't stand up. Ki yesh lahen shuvos rabos. There are many ways of dispelling, of responding to these suggestions, to reject them. V'eino elo ki melamden osono. The whole purpose is to teach us the suggestions are not tenable. She'im tomar kain, if you try to say this, meaning what we suggest, then yesh lahoshiv kain, then you can answer as the Gemara will each time. V'eino meshiv kol atshuvas. This is what the main point, that when the Gemara gives a response, it's not giving all of the responses to reject a given suggestion. It's v'eino meshiv kol atshuvas sheyesh lahoshiv. With one rejection, it's enough to refute whatever was being suggested. So, we'll go through this every time. A suggestion, a rejection, true other rejections could have been made, but that's not necessary. It's enough. The fact that I have one rejection to any given suggestion is enough to motivate producing another suggestion, and that too will be repudiated until we get to the end of this discussion. So, and then there will be a final solution of how the Kohen is to work things out. But we've established so far that in order for the replacement woman to be a true replacement, there has to be some state of matrimony. However, we have to avoid that matrimony to be too good, too solid, so as not to run into the problem of his having two wives at the time he's doing the Yom Kippur service. So the Gemara on the first wide line says that he does marry her, then there's a divorce, but it's conditional. The Omar law, Hareze Gitech Almenas Shetomusi. I am presenting this as your divorce on condition that she dies. He says, on condition that you die, so that if she dies, so she will have been divorced, and he'll be left with his original wife, namely only one wife, not two wives. The Gemara asks, well, v'dilma lo maiso, maybe she won't die. The get, this divorce, is conditional on her dying. If she doesn't die, havavile shnei botim, then he's left with two wives, and we've got back to that problem. Elo, the Omar law, so rather, he says to the replacement woman, harezi gitech, amanas shelo tomusi. This is your get on condition that you do not die. So now the Gemara explains, e lo miso, if she doesn't die when Yom Kippur sets in, then Mikrushalo, she is divorced, so he doesn't have two wives. He has just his original wife. V'i misaha, and if she does die, so then ha kaimahach, then he has the other one. So just to go over this last point, reading the Gemara, V'i misaha, and if the replacement woman does die, so Kaimohach, his original wife, is there. So he has his one original wife, and that's good. Question, v'dilma, he lo misa, maybe the second wife does not die, v'havya le gita dahai gita, and the get that she received is valid, umaisa chaverta, and the original woman does die, v'kom le below bias, and under those circumstances, then he has no wife. The first one not dying, causing her to be divorced. The original wife dying, leaving him without any women. Ella, the Omar Law, new suggestion. He says, this is your get, Almanas Shetomus Achas Mikem. This is your get on condition that one of you die. And the Hesber, the explanation, Mesa Ha, if this one dies, Kaimo Hach. The other one is there, Mesa Hach, Ha Kaimo Ha. So the other one is still there. So either way, he will be left with one woman. The Gemara rejects this, and this takes a couple lines to develop. V'dilma lo maisa lo chado minayu. Maybe neither one will die. V'have le shnei botim, and he'll then be left with two wives. Just remembering the condition was the get will be valid only if one dies. But if no one dies, so there's no get, then he has two wives. V'od, in a second problem, ki hai gavno mi have gita, is a get given in this fashion to a good divorce document to begin with? Is it an effective divorce to begin with? V'homa Rava. Rava has taught, hareze giteich almanas shelo tishdiayin. A man gives a divorce to his wife, and he makes it conditional on her not drinking wine. So, kol yimei chayai v'chayaychi ein ze krisus. He says, on condition that you don't drink wine all of my life, or all of your life, that is not a krisus. Krisus means divorce, or literally a cutoff. It's not effective, because a get must be something which creates a break in the marriage that would take place during their lifetime. But a divorce that doesn't take place during their lifetime isn't considered a divorce. However, now in the brackets we've de-emphasized this because it's not relevant to our sugya, but if he says that this is your divorce document, kol yamei chaye ploni, on condition that you don't drink wine during the lifetime of so-and-so, in other words, some person outside of the couple, so hare ze krisus. That is a good divorce, because that is a type of divorce that could take effect while they are still alive. But a divorce that's dependent on the death of either one, the husband or the wife, that's not considered a divorce. So saying, like was suggested in the most recent triangle, that's just simply not effective, because the divorce is dependent on, there is no divorce throughout the lifetime of the woman. Ella, the Omar law, rather, the following would be the condition. Hareze Giteh, he says to the replacement woman, he says, this is your get, Amanas Shelo Tomus Chavertech, on condition that the co-wife does not die. And now the explanation. E lo miso chaverta, if the original wife does not die, so then migrasha, then this one, the replacement woman, is divorced. So he has only one wife. The e misa ha, ha kaima ha. And if the original wife does die, so then the replacement woman is there. So he has this as his one wife. Question. V'dilma maiso chaverta, v'palga davoida. Well, maybe the original wife will die in the middle of the avoda, and the death we'll say strengthens the marriage. Remember, the divorce was in the event that there's no death, but if there is death, then the replacement woman's marriage is strengthened. The igli milso lemafreya, and now being that the death is taking place in palga b'avoda, in the middle of the avoda, in the middle of the Yom Kippur service, so then it becomes clear retroactively. That's the igli milso. We continue at the top of Omid Beis lemafreya. Reference means retroactively. The gita deha lav kitahu, that the get given to the second woman is not a get, because once again, the get was dependent on shelo tomus chaverta, but in the case of there, that there is a death, so the get becomes a non-get. That's a non-divorce. The Ovid lay avoda b'shnei botim, and then the beginning of his Yom Kippur service was with two wives, and that's not acceptable. Ella, another suggestion, the Omar law, hareze gitech amanas shetamus chavertech. This is your get on condition that the other one, the original wife, dies. V'dilmo maisa chaverta, the original woman might die. V'havale gito deha gita, and then the get that was given to the replacement woman becomes an effective get, because the condition was on condition that the original wife dies. Well, if the original wife does die, so then the replacement woman is divorced, v'kom lay below bias, and then he's left without a wife. So that's not a solution either. Elo de megarish lehu letravayu. The following new suggestion, he gives divorce documents to both of them. Lechado, to one of them, he says, Omar lo, hareze gitech amanas shelo tomus chavertech. You will be divorced in the event that your friend does not die. Lechado, Omar lo, and to the other one, he says, hareze gitech amanas shelo tikonsi lebeis haknesis. This is your divorce on condition that you do not go into a synagogue. We say not going to synagogue means not going to synagogue on Yom Kippur. In this scenario, it is clear that if the original wife dies, then the replacement woman is not divorced, and that's good. However, if the first woman, the replacement woman, does not die, so then the get of the replacement woman is a true divorce. At that point, in order to ensure that he has a bias, then it's important that the original wife goes into a shul, so that she won't become divorced. Problem, though, the Gemara continues, V'dilma lo maisa chaverta, maybe the original woman will not die. And as we said, if that happens, then the second woman will be divorced. V'lo aylo hi lebeis haknesis. And the original woman, maybe she won't go into the shul, the hava le gita de travayu gita. And under such circumstances, where original woman doesn't die, and that original woman doesn't go into a shul, so you've got now both of them divorced, the kum le below bias. And now you have a kohen gadol without a wife. Elo. Lechado Omar lo, hare ze gitech amanas shelo tomus chavertech. So to the replacement woman, he says, this is your divorce on condition that the my original wife doesn't die. Lechado Omar lo, hare ze gitech amanas sheekones ani lebeis haknesis. This will be your divorce on condition that I go into a shul. And now the Hesber. De'i maisa ha, if the original wife dies, then ha, then kaima ha, then the replacement woman remains married to him, and he has that, she is his singular wife. De'i maisa ha, ha kaima ha. And if the replacement woman if the original wife dies. So then the replacement woman is there. Ma'i iko lameimar, what problem could there be? Dilmo, ma'iso chaverta, b'palga davoida, the original woman might die in midday, in the middle of the avoda. The avad, and what happens if the original woman dies? So then the replacement woman is not divorced. The divorce kicks in only if she doesn't die, but if she dies, so then there is no divorce. And then the avad le avoda lemafreya b'shnei botim. Well, under those circumstances, then retroactively he started doing the avoda with two wives. Well, e chazi law, if he sees the kaboyis lememas that she is about to die, then kodim ihu va'ayel lebeis hakneses, he would then hasten into a shul before she actually dies, umashvi legito deho gito lemafreya, thereby making the get that he gave her a true divorce retroactively, so that when he started doing the avoda, he was doing it only with the singular, the one replacement wife, as we describe. Maskif lo Rav Asi v'itemo Rav Avira. Elo me'ato. Now you'll notice that we have a double underline, again one of our series markings, and on the side of the Gemara we have an explanation. These are kushos shehukshu. These are questions that are raised ekev hodadar shinon, in light of that which we explained, beso liel lemayit shtayim, that the word beso was here to exclude a case of two wives. So the maskif lo Rav Asi, we turn back to the Gemara. Rav Asi v'itemo Rav Avira. Some say Rav Avira asked elameato. Shtei yevomois habois mibayis echod lo yis yabmu. In the event that we have a yibum situation. Now, a yibum situation, for those who are not familiar, that's a case where you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven dies, leaving a widow but no children. So the brother Shimon is expected to marry the widow of Reuven. Let us say that when Reuven died, he left two wives. Of course, we're talking in the time of the Gemara, where bigamy was acceptable. So Reuven, in our scenario, died, leaving two wives. Are you going to say then, because the Torah, in the case of Yibum, mentions beso, the term bias is used, indicating just one. So if he left two, if Reuven died leaving two wives, then not even one of them should be eligible for Yibum. And we know that's not the case. So the Gemara explains, generally, the word bias or beso does indicate a singular situation. However, in the case of Yibum, yevimto, yevimto, riba. The word yevimto appears a couple of times, and that comes to include the case of multiple wives left by the deceased as being subject to mitzvah yibum as well. Of course, under those circumstances, parenthetically, Shimon marries only one of Reuven's wives. He doesn't marry both of them. Maskif lo ravino vitemo rav shravio. Elomeato, arusa lo tisyabim. We mentioned that the word bias indicated something that is totally married, but an arusa is the sometimes translated as the betrothed woman. Namely, money was given to her, but in our case of Reuven and Shimon, Reuven had only given her Kesef Kiddushin, he only reached the Erusin stage, did not do Nisuin with her, are you going to then say, because the word bias appears, and bias means Knusa, means fully married, so Reuven leaving an Arusa would not be subject to Yibum, and we know that's not the case. But if you're explaining, as we did before, that Beso has that connotation as well, namely someone that's fully married, and if he leaves a widow but only from the Erusin, the non-fully married stage, it would seem that there's no Yibum, and we know that's not true. So the Gemara explains, Hachutza, the word Hachutza appears in the Pasuk, L'rabois es harusa. That word, without getting into the details and the meaning behind the word, suffice it to say, for our purposes, since the word Hachutza appears, it comes to include even the woman who's like an outsider. She's not fully married, but yet the dinim of Yibum do apply. So, as far as the principle is concerned, Beso means only one, and it means one who is fully married. As far as these two questions are concerned, in the case of Yibum, so we have special Gzeres HaKosov to include those scenarios as well, as being relevant or shayach to the mitzvah of Yibum. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic. We have a topic heading, Kohen Gadol Onein. We'll talk about a Kohen who is an Onein, and we'll make reference to a Kohen Gadol as an Onein. An Onein is, in this case, a Kohen, whose one of his close relatives died. And in general, a regular Kohen who is in the state of Aninus, he is not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's now continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Kohen Gadol Makriv Onein Veino Ochel. A Kohen Gadol is entitled to offer sacrifices, slaughter them and sprinkle the blood, and tend to the processing of a korban. However, he's not allowed to eat from the korban. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Hayom. Now this expression is vague. The Gemara asks, my Kol Hayom? What is Rabbi Yehuda trying to tell us? So as we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice the appearance of a diamond, another one of our series markings. And on the side, under our Mivneh, we've noted, Hezberim lohodikotoni b'divra b'yuda kol hayom b'kesher l'kayin gadol onein. We're going to try to offer explanations for Rabbi Yehuda's comment. So, Omar Rava, we're back in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Rava says, lo nitzucha elo lehavioi mitoich beisai. It's to bring a kayin gadol who is not in the Beis HaMikdash. It would be a mitzvah to bring him to the Beis HaMikdash while he is an onein to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi adds, "Kedei lefakech tsaro," to alleviate the pain of the demise. So that Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting that he should be brought even from home to the Beis HaMikdash to put his mind at ease, like to get his mind off of the loss. Omar lei Abaye. Now, Rabbi raises a question that lasts till the bottom line. Hashto the Rebbe Yehuda afuke mafkinon lei. Now, this is a little trick because the word lei is a pronoun, but it's a reference to a kohen hedyot. A kohen hedyot, as we said, he is not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say someone started working in the Beis HaMikdash, started offering a sacrifice, and in the middle he is found to have become an onein. So Rabbi Yehuda will be of the opinion that a kohen hedyot onein, even if he started the avodah, he is to be dismissed. So we show you that Rabbi Yehuda is his approach to aninus is a very restrictive, strict approach. Get the kohen out of the picture, so to speak. So it's very odd that as Rava explained the source just before, that Rabbi Yehuda is into bringing the kohen gadol to the Beis HaMikdash, when the direction Rabbi Yehuda takes in these matters is generally getting them out of there. So again, we're mixing two topics together, but it's We're more interested in seeing the spirit of things as far as Rabbi Yehuda's position is concerned. So not, I know it sounds a bit confusing. We're mentioning a Kohen Gadol, we're mentioning a Kohen Hedyot, but we'll try to get to the core, the spirit of things. So Rabbi says, to feature Rabbi Yehuda as someone that is advocating bringing the Kohen Gadol into the Beis HaMikdash, that seems far-fetched. Why? And let's read that line again, three lines from the bottom. Hashtal Rabbi Yehuda afuke mafkinon lei desanyo. And we have a Tanaic source. If you skip to the bottom line, second word, v'ad amris maisinon lei mitok beiso. And you're trying to say within Rabbi Yehuda that you're to bring him from his house to the Beis HaMikdash. So now let's see, where did Rabbi Yehuda speak about afuke mafkinon lei, getting a kohen hedyot out? Meaning out of the Beis HaMikdash. Desanya, hoya oimeidu makriv al gabi yamizbech, a kohen hedyot is offering sacrifices and he's at the altar. Vishoma shemes lo meis, and he hears that a close relative died. Meniach avodoso v'yotzei, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You see, Rabbi Yehuda says he leaves in the middle of his avoda, in the middle of his service, and leaves. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yigmor. Rabbi Yossi says he should finish off what he started. But as far as within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the Ad Amris Maisinon Le Misof Beso, and you're saying within Rabbi Yehuda that the Kohen Gadol is to be brought from his house to the avoda. Elo Omar Rava. Therefore, second version of Rava is presented. My Kol Hayom. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean with his expression Kol Hayom? We continue at the top of Yud Daled Omer Aleph. Loimar She'eno Oved Kol Hayom. That even though technically speaking, a Kohen Gadol who does do service as an onain, the service is kosher. Nevertheless, rabbinically, Rabbi Yehuda is saying he should not do avoda all of that day. Gzeira Shema Yoichal. We're afraid that if he's involved with avoda, he might come to eat from the sacrifice. Now, eating is strictly forbidden. Amalei Rav Ado Bar Avo Ravo Mi Goza Rav Yehuda Shema Yochal. Is that fear that he might come to eat something that bothers or preoccupies Rabbi Yehuda Votnan? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we have a Tanaic source. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo. We have a replacement. This is Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah, where a replacement woman is designated for the Kohen Gadol. Shema Tomus Ishto. We're afraid that his wife might die. So we want to make sure that he continues being married so that he can continue doing the service on Yom Kippur. V'i Maiso Ishto. And if his wife dies, Ovid Avoda. He continues doing the Avoda because we've taken care of the issue of having a replacement woman for him. And so he continues doing the Avoda. And he's an Onain. His wife just died. V'lo Gozar Rabbi Yehuda Shema Yochal. And yet Rabbi Yehuda doesn't. He allows him to work in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not fearful that he might come, that the Kohen Gadol might come to eat from sacrifices. Omar Lei. So Rava explains. Hochi Hashta. He said, Rava says, how can you compare the din of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah with my explanation of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda regarding the Kohen Gadol Onein? Hochi Hash, how can you compare the cases? Hosam, in the case of Yom Kippur, where we see that he doesn't make Gzerah, Kevon Yom Kippur Hu, since it's on Yom Kippur, Dekulei Alma Lo Koachli, everyone is abstaining from food. No one is eating on Yom Kippur. So Hunami Lo Osi Lamecha, he's not going to come to eat. The whole fear, the whole issue that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, as Rava explained things, was that if he is allowed to do avoda, he'll come to eat. But in the case of Yom Kippur, he's not going to come to eat. No one around him is eating, so he's not going to eat either. Hocha v'kuleyamo achli. But under the circumstances that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, Kol Hayom, that's a regular day where everyone around him is eating. Hunami osi lemechal. That's where the fear of his coming to eat is also a reality, something to worry about. The Gemara asks a technical question. V'chi hai gavno michaila ole aninus? The example of Yom Kippur, as far as the question is concerned, doesn't even need to be brought in as a challenge. Because in the Yom Kippur case, he's not an onain. In the event that his wife dies, so v'ha migrisha, she was already divorced, as we saw in the previous Gemara, when we were dealing with all the triangles. So we took into consideration a scenario like this, and we said that he would give a get on condition, etc., and so forth. As Rashi says on the third narrow line, v'ha migrisha d'ochi ukimna, we already set this up. The ichazi lo demesa, if he sees that his wife is about to die, kodem v'ala beis haknesses, the kohen gadol will rush into a shul umashvi lei v'gito dahi demesa gito mafreya, thereby making the get that he had given her before a get retroactively. So a woman who is divorced, so the former husband is not an onain when she dies. So that it's not even a reasonable question to bring in the Yom Kippur scenario where we let him do avoda. Of course we let him do avoda. She's already divorced. So the Gemara says, the question still is a good question. Nida aninus lo chayal alei, even though, or is granted, that aninus doesn't set upon him, because as we said, he had divorced her. It truly lo mitrid. Is there not the problem of his being torud? Torud is a situation where he's preoccupied and lacking focus and concentration. So Rashi says, he explains here the issue, milo mitrid, ubekotchim boinen simcha gedula. For working in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to be in a state of happiness and pride. Dechtiv v'chon esatin l'mashcha k'der Hashem lochem oichlin v'chulei. So that we see that even though you would think that he is mitrid, Rabbi Yudah doesn't make gezeros, and he allows him to continue doing avoda. And he's doing avoda, and we're not afraid. In the question we said, and we're not afraid of his coming to eat. So the Gemara mentioned that as far as the fear of his coming to eat, that doesn't exist when it comes to Yom Kippur. The next section of the Gemara you see features a new Mishnah, and since we're learning in the Daf Yomi context, this is a very good place to conclude. Before we do so, though, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.